ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. Hello, Butch.
Hello, Miss Melody. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much. And gold, good. Not so much. Yeah, gold, not so much today. It was trying to break out, and pressure came in. And it was up most of the day. We had a high of 1,214. But then after the spot market closed at 130, they came in and whacked it in the aftermarket trading on the New York spot price. It's down $10 at 1,201.80. Silver, same thing, was down 19 cents at $14.77. Platinum was down 13 at $794. And palladium was down 12 at $944. USDX today was down 0.05 at 94.71. The crude oil was down 25 at 68.62. And the paper markets today, the Dow is still above 26,000, up 15 points. The NASDAQ is up 12 at 8,030. The S&P barely unchanged at 2,897. And the Dow was at 26,064 points, up 15. So kind of a quiet, this week has been kind of quiet. And I think leading up to the Labor Day weekend, a lot of schools started this week. They're starting this week and next week if they haven't, you know. So a lot of distractions out there as far as, so it's been a very quiet it's kind of a weird week. It's odd. I mean, we've been people taking advantage of the lower prices for gold and silver. The 10-year yield, that moved up quite a bit today, 2.88%, up 0.04. European Asian markets, you know, basically unchanged overnight. I'm not quite sure what's happening this week. There was consumer confidence came out. I don't have those numbers right in front of me, but I mean, it's looking like a, I don't know, 20-year high or, you know, something ridiculous on the consumer sentiment. I did have it here briefly, but I start cruising the internet for information. The next thing you know, you save something that you wanted to talk about. The next thing you know, it's gone. But consumer sentiment rose to the highest level in nearly 18 years. The Conference Board reported today it was up from a reading of 127.9 in July, and this is the highest reading since it stood at 135.8 in October of 2000. So, you know, Butch, the consumer's confidence.
Well, I'll be like you say.
They're happy. Yeah, their confidence is good. Their confidence in the ability to get a job is strong. They feel the overall economy is good. So they should be out there spending on big ticket items as cars here in the coming months. And we all know that consumer spending accounts for about 70% of our economic activity.
That's true. So, and, you know, I'm getting mixed signals in here. I'm going to share some articles in a minute or two here. And, well, mixed signals. I mean, some say we're up, some say we're down. And truly, I don't know which way to go with this. I mean, maybe consumer confidence is up, but come right down to the nitty-gritty, according to reports I have here, it's not so hot on the common person level, I guess you could say. But, you know, he's talking about gold. Gold is up from what it was last week. I know it's not where it ought to be. It was 11.90-something, I believe it was last week.
We had a nice run on Friday. It was up $20 on Friday.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is up. And it's going to go up some more. I mean, it's going to go up hugely one day. I don't know when. But it's going to. It's going to.
Well, the fundamentals, as I say this on an everyday basis, the fundamentals of gold and silver have never been stronger. If people are looking for an investment, one of the things they want to look at what no one is interested in. Those are the things that you want to buy. You want to buy the things that no one's interested in at the time, and the fundamentals. What makes those prices of those items rise? I mean, I mean, with so little downside risk. I mean, really, the gold and silver, which is, it's really a no-brainer at this point in time. I mean, we're having severe, we're going to have major monetary policy crisis here in the very near future.
I totally agree. I totally agree. You know, that's going to happen. I listened to another program today discussing what I remember as a young boy, and you do too, I'm sure. Up to 1964, the silver certificate could be taken into banking, traded for an ounce of silver. You remember that? Those days. I know you do.
Well, and you know, whenever you could actually.
Well, 1964. I mean, I know you're young, but gee. But anyway. I remember, seriously, my Uncle Ted was his name, my grandpa's brother, used to give me, my brother, a silver half dollar every time he saw us. You come in for a trip, he'd give a silver half dollar. Now, that's about 50 cents. Well, today, that's, might buy a can of Coke in the right place. I don't know. It might. I doubt it. Back then, though, a silver half dollar would buy me a quart of Coke and a box 22 shells. Now, think about that. And that's... The 50 cent piece is worth about $5. Well, I mean $5. Yeah, $5. Mm-hmm. Yes. So $5 still buy you. I guess now they call a liter of Coke, you know, and other something else on the side. But when you think about this, 50 cents back in 1960s was a little bit of money for a boy to have. Actually, giving somebody a $5 bill. If you give them a silver dollar, then they had, you know, what, closer to $15. $14, whatever. So these are things people don't think about. I know they don't because they forgot. They didn't know that ever changed. We still get 50 cent pieces. They're just not real. They're a copy of 50 cent piece, but they're worth very little as far as intrinsic value. And that's why it's called inflation. And I don't care how good people feel. I don't care how excited they get with the market. Don't go to 26,000 above. I don't care if it goes to 40,000 above. As long as they have fiat currency, the economy will collapse. Eventually, no matter how good people feel about it, they're going to feel good until it blows up. Then what are you going to do? It's going to blow up. It can't go on forever this way. I know they've been saying it for years. A fiat currency is destined to fall, to destroy itself. And the whole world basically runs on fiat currencies, does it not?
Yes, it does. And you know, with this consumer confidence, you know, it takes us back 18 years to the year 2000. What happened to 2000? Yeah, the dot-com bust. I mean, so these are, and so many peak numbers that they're reporting today are all numbers that we can relate to the prior crashes of 2000 and 2008. So we're not any different now. I mean, we hit these peaks, and those are signals, those are signs to tell us that we're in the same place where we were. And we know we should take heed because we know what follows.
Well, in 2008, everything was looking rosy, was it not, up to that year?
Yeah, it was.
I mean,
yep.
Everything was booming. I remember that very well. And I remember Bob Chapman saying, folks, it's going to come down. It's going to come down hard. He told me he thought around 2006, 2007. He missed it a year. Big deal. He called it right on the money. And it happened. And I know a lot of people personally that it destroyed. They lost their home, lost their cars, guy lost his wife. All this because he had went in head over heels in debt because the economy looked good and his business looked great. But when it bottomed out, there's a housing business. When it bottomed out, I mean, it went to nothing overnight, and he was destroyed. Now, that's a fact. That's a fact. I know the person, he's a member of the family, actually. But, you know, we just talking about the Dow hit the record high. And, of course, S&P breaks 500, breaks above 2,900 for the first time as trade fears ease. You know, we know that Trump has worked with Mexico, and they found a new deal in NAFTA. Now, I have to give Trump some kudos on that. Everyone thought that Mexico would just retaliate and really put a hurting on us. But it looks like they come to the table and renegotiated what they're going to do. Now, what it's going to be yet, I really don't know. But maybe Trump has some method to his madness. I mean, it may be all scenario. I have no idea about that either. But Mexico did capitulate on this and come back to the table. But it says that, you know, that the 2,900 for the first time because trade fears have eased. We will see what will happen on that. And you mentioned before, consumer confidence is 18-year high. But it also said in the same article that older households over 55 and high-income earners saw confidence rise, but younger households under 35 and lower-income earners are feeling worse. They don't tell you that. I mean, that's how confidence is supposed to get you in your high. Okay, but what happened to people under 35? Well, they did not count.
They don't
him?
Count anymore. Yeah, they don't count anymore. You know that.
I mean, people, this isn't right. This is half reporting. This is a half lie, and a half lie is worse than a whole lie. It's a half truth, and it's dangerous. So, yeah, some people, I guess, are prospering. We'll cover it in a minute also on who's prospering with this whole situation. And it's not the average person. It is not the average person. So we're getting double messages here. On one hand, it's a record high, and what, 18-year record high. And then the other hand, people under 35 are feeling worse. That doesn't go in the same glove, does it?
No, it doesn't, and you're right. I mean, that's how so many of these reports are given in. You know, and I agree, kudos to, you know, changing the NAFTA and you know, working on that, you know, that's, you know, something that should have been done and so forth. And, you know, so I'm not taking it. But we really don't know what's in the details until, well, you know probably. And Congress still has to approve it. And
sure.
I think everybody knows, you know, Congress, and so I can't imagine they wouldn't. I can't imagine that you know that they wouldn't pass it. But you know, we'll just have to wait and see, and we'll have to wait until the details come out to see what exactly is in it. And you know, the only thing that I've been hearing and reading about the agreement is you know, wages for Mexico are going to go up. And so forth, and it's just a matter of whether the manufacturers in Mexico, is it cheaper for them to increase the wages to up to $16, or is it just cheaper to pay the additional tariffs? So, you know, so it's sometimes we're not going to know for months.
That's very true.
We can see, we can see all this on paper and all these agreements, but we still don't know if they're going to follow through with it and what the impact doesn't really trickle down or not. And
remember
I'm
the
not
old saying, I'm sorry.
I'm not a believer in trickle down economics. But
I haven't seen it work on my end yet anyway, but do you remember the old saying, oh, what a tangled web we weave once we practice to deceive? Remember that old saying?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever seen such convoluted, insane or insanity in every aspect of this nation? I don't care what's economics or government or politics. I don't care. I mean, deception has been the rule for many, many, many decades now. And everything is so out of kilter and so out of order that actually the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing anymore. And if they do, they're going to fight over it. Everything is so blown up proportion and I don't know, Melody, I don't know how to even describe it. And some things are under proportion. They don't report them as far as like they should. So I just don't know how to explain this, but it's insanity on every level in this country, especially when it comes to finances, states trying to pay their bills, you know, and counties and cities. I mean, we have cities going under here in West Virginia. I'm trying to name the city here, and I should know it's off the top of my head. Lost the business, and they're having a hard time making a budget meet to discuss other ways to try to keep the city running. And I just see all this and think, folks, we've been running it like this for years. It's all been on paper. It looked good. We all looked like we were prospering for a long time, but we were prospering with credit, and credit is a false prosperity, is it not?
It is. And, you know, and everybody focuses on the stock markets, and everybody believes it. And that's why consumer confidence is up, because you have the older generations who do have their pensions and retirements, and they see the stock markets are higher, and, yeah, that's going to make them feel good. But, hello, how much a large percentage of those stock market increases are due to multinational corporations buying back their shares?
There you go.
Trillions.
Absolutely.
Trillions of dollars worth.
But, you know, as you covered, go ahead. I'm so sorry.
It's not real. It's not real.
No, it's not real.
And then as they buy back their shares to pump up the price, then they sell theirs and make money off of people who go in there thinking that this stock that's being pitched by their financial analysts is a great thing, is going up. You need to get in there. So they buy in there, and, you know, the multinational corporations, they sell theirs. I mean, it is insane.
Well, again, when credit goes out, payback has to come, and that's when it's going to come the home of the roost. It's just like you or I going out buy a new car, a new home, and, you know, invest in the money. We can maybe fake it for 3 or 4 months, But eventually, it's going to bite us. And we've been doing this in the whole world, but especially in America, for a long time. We've been spending money we haven't got, printing paper that's worth nothing, and with the facade of being money to keep things rolling. And all we're doing is making the collapse going to hurt that much worse when it does happen.
And the only thing that I'm not after this administration. I'm just trying to figure out this administration. But there's been so many things going on, and yes, there's been a lot of good things that have been done, but there's so many things that aren't completed. You know, it doesn't seem like they're finalized. But again, it's interesting. It's fascinating. So it makes you wonder, where are we? And I think that's part of what you're saying. It's like no one really knows where we're at. So, yeah, we got to, you know, just be positive and hopeful that it all works out. Well,
there used to be an old saying, too, fake it till you make it. Well, we've been faking a long time. We haven't made it yet. Okay, and that's a fact. I want to cover one more thing real quick before the first break here.
Right.
But this is more evidence that the economy is deteriorating. Now, we just heard consumer confidence is a 18-year high, and people are all excited, and the S&P is up to 2,900, record. But now more evidence the economy is deteriorating. Financial market and economic prospects remain far shy of the hype and headlines amidst tanking consumer optimism and negative revisions to recent reporting. Now, this is by John Williams at ShadowWars.com. But he said the consumer optimism is tanking. The other report said it was a record high. Now, this is, that's what I'm saying, conflicting reports. The economy may seem like it is doing well, but if you are a part of the upper 10% demographic, though in reality, for most of the upper 10% doing well has been a function of having access to credit. NASA, Federal Credit Union, is offering zero mortgage insurance for mortgages up to $2.5 million. Someone I know suggested a tax cut stimulus has run its course, but the narrative that the tax cuts would stimulate economic activity was pure propaganda. The tax cuts stimulated $1 trillion in expected share buybacks. Now, you said a minute ago, share buybacks, mm-hmm. and put more money in the pockets of corporate insiders and billionaires. The average middle-class household spent its tax cut money on more expensive gasoline and food. Now, that's the point, and that's the key. Since the tax cut took effect, auto sales and home sales have declined. Retail sales have been mixed. However, it's difficult to distinguish between statistical manipulation and inflation. I would argue that net of real inflation and Census Bureau statistical gains, real retail sales have been declining. Now, back to the point that the average middle class has spent their tax cut, whatever they got, on rising prices. Melly, that's the whole point. That's called inflation, and it's eating us alive 1% of the time.
I get it, and I get we're going into a break right now, so we'll be right back right after these few short messages.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Sober Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And we've been selling the 90% sober 50 cent pieces. I kind of a bag of Walkers in, and they're really not bad condition Walkers. So those are the earlier 50 cent pieces, and I just ordered some more Kennedy half dollars and Ben Franklin half dollars. So it makes it a lot easier to count than those dimes. So and sometimes, because there's so few of the 50 cent pieces, lots of times they do generate a bigger premium over the quarters and the dimes. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Butch, heading into the break, we're talking about things just aren't as they seem to be, or what
no,
they tell
they're
us.
Not. Yeah. No, they're not. And, you know, and by the way, Melody's going to join me, folks, on my broadcast Thursday night, 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. You can hear us from 61115 shortwave. You can go to gcnlive.com, listen on there, and some radio stations across the nation are on there. So join us Thursday night and listen to Melody on my broadcast. You can even call and talk to her in my program if you like and ask questions. That's what we like to do. Melody is an expert when it comes to financial needs and taking care of things. I hope you'll take that very seriously. I truly do. Anyway, back to some more hard truths. Again, we're getting the conflicting reports on and on and on. Now, this article, I got to read part of it because it's that important. Almost half of Americans can't pay for their basic needs. Now, Melody, doggone it, consumer confidence is booming. Inflation, jobs are up. According to everybody's what they're saying, people are working. The stock market's over the hump, and everything's looking well. But half Americans can't pay for the basic needs. And I know personally, very close family members having problems paying their bills. And they're retired now. He was still part-time working, but when they retired, they did pretty well for a while. And now, over the last 6-7 years, inflation's caught up to them, and they're struggling. Yep. But this is what the article said. Now, we needn't kid ourselves, people. This is for real. Unless you are an exception to the rule, most people have to go on a budget, and sometimes the budget gets very tight. Now, Melody, that's a good statement, is it not?
Yes, it is.
You know, I mean, I had to take my dog back to the vet day. I got a dog here that showed up my porch 11 years ago. I finally found out who dropped him off here. Didn't want a dog. Did not want a dog. Said I'd never have a dog. Well, this little booger come in here and wormed his way into with Marsha and then into me, and now I've got him, and I spent $138 on him today because he has allergies really badly, and I take it back Friday to get another shot for $70. And these are things that you don't really budget for all the time, but I've had to take him back and forth to bed every 3 months for allergy shots. I can't do anything about it because I like the little guy. I mean, what are you going to do, right? But budgeting, folks, can be tough. It truly can. But this article covers it just like it is. It says 4 in 10 Americans are struggling to pay for their basic needs, such as groceries or housing, a problem even middle-class households confront, according to a new study from the Urban Institute. Now, this is really something to think about. Despite the U.S. economy being near full employment, 39.4% of adults between 18 and 64 years old said they experienced at least one type of material hardship in 2017. According to the study, which surveyed more than 7,500 adults about whether they had trouble paying for housing, utilities, food, or health care. The findings surprised researchers at the Urban Institute, who had expected to find high levels of hardship among poor Americans, but hadn't and predicted so many middle-class families will also struggle to meet their basic needs. That may illustrate that middle-class income is no guarantee of protection from hardship, said Michael Cartman, research associate at the Urban Institute's Health Policy Center and co-author of the report. Against the backdrop of President Donald Trump's boasting about new unemployment and strong economic growth, the research adds nuance to the problems facing America's families. Middle-class households tend to struggle with paying their health care bills rather than utilities, for instance. Health care costs have outpaced wages and inflation, no duh. So is electricity bills, so is everything else, so is gasoline, but anyway. And health care costs have outpaced wages and inflation, pushing more Americans into high deductible plans, which can backfire when serious health problems arise. A lot of people are looking at the fact that wages aren't keeping up with the household costs as one reason families are having difficulty making ends meet, Cartman said. Even for families with health insurance, they may be facing high deductibles that leave them facing high costs. And Melody, the statement said that the fact that wages aren't keeping up with household costs, that's called inflation, is it not?
Yes, it is. And wages will never keep up with household
they can't.
Costs. They can't. They won't.
I mean, companies can't afford to pay us inflation rates. When's the last time you heard somebody actually give retired people on Social Security an actual inflation rate adjustment on the pay?
Maybe a dollar.
but they say, they tell me, you know, well, we're going to give you an inflation rate raise of, yeah, of what, $10, but they're saying inflation is 2%, was actually 10%.
Yep.
I mean, they do kind of rip us off, don't they?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
So, I mean, inflation's a real thing. If you're not feeling it, you're really blessed. Most people I talk to are feeling it. I feel it. I think even Melanie feels it. She does.
If inflation wasn't affecting people, and a simple sign, as I saw a report earlier today, that 70% of Americans think there should be Medicare, is it Medicare or Medicaid, for everyone?
Yes.
They want a
socialism.
One system. Yes, 70%.
But they don't look at Venezuela and what happened there. Everyone there now, they had free health care, did they not?
Yeah, but the whole point is that if wages were keeping up with their household expenses, if inflation wasn't nipping at their heels everywhere they went, that number wouldn't be so high because they'd be able to afford it.
I understand
and
that.
And there was only 20%. It was broken down, I don't know, Democrats were like 50% and about 30% Republicans or something like that. But there was only like 20% who thought it was a bad idea. 20%.
Well, more people are talking about the UBI, too, universal basic income. There are more people discussing that as a way to stem up poverty. You can't stem poverty by doing welfare systems. Somebody's got to pay for that, and the government does not pay for it. The government does not produce anything except more poverty. People pay for this. People that are working pay for somebody that's not working. And that's just the way it is. And we cannot give ourselves out of debt into prosperity. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way.
And it's not right to think that just because someone has been successful, they've worked hard, they sacrificed, why should they be responsible for everybody else?
I agree.
I believe in giving back. Don't get me wrong. We all should give back no matter where we're at. We all need to give back because we've all been blessed. But you don't set up a socialist system just because some people can't, you know. The thinking, Butch, anymore, it just...
People aren't thinking. They're being programmed, Melody. Especially in the public school system, they're being programmed.
and
yeah,
brainwashed.
They're being programmed, absolutely, yeah. And brainwashed. Yeah. The same thing. They are.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been taught socioeconomics in school. Ever since I was in school, they were taught socioeconomics, because that's before my time, when Roosevelt started Social Security, and then Johnson brought in the great society with more poverty relief, and he's going to the war on poverty. You remember all that too, I'm sure. At least some of
it. Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So absolutely. And he's going to solve all the poverty problems in this nation and make everybody able to afford a place to live. It didn't help. It's worse. There's more homeless now than there have been for years. I mean, we have to hire poop scoopers in San Francisco to clean up after homeless people. There's something wrong with society, is there not?
Yes, there is. And here's another report that tells us how wrong the society, that there is a problem. One in seven U.S. adults used marijuana in 2017.
Wow.
To me, that's staggering. To me, it's just, I mean, am I the only one who thinks that that's wrong? That it's a sign of our society that's in decay? Am I the only one that thinks that, Butch?
No, I would hope not. But I remember years ago when I was reading an article about things that were so tough in Russia. I don't remember the percentage, but a high percentage of people were alcoholics. Because
yeah.
They were depressed people. They were depressed. They didn't like how they lived and maybe even where they lived. And they were depressed. They were looking, seeking an escape. Well, drugs are generally a way to try to escape reality. And I don't know whether people doing marijuana for health benefits or for getting high. I have no idea. But it makes no difference. The usage is up. And here in our local area, right here in West Virginia, a good friend of ours works at the local hospital. He said most of their patients now come in high on meth. And it's paid for by you and I. They all have Medicaid cards.
Yeah, yeah.
And we pay for it. And he also told me that if they come in high in bad shape, they can't call the cops and say, we got a guy here overdosed on drugs. They can't do that. They have to turn him loose.
Mm.
Now think about that. That's society today, Melody. And we're going to turn it around by giving more money to people like that?
Yeah. It really is insane. And so how does all this come out to where, you know, and that everything is just all based so much on the economy? And it's just like we all talk about the economy. We all talk about jobs. No one talks about America anymore.
How about morality?
You mean,
remember
morality.
Whenever Clinton was running, it's the economy, stupid. They won't bring up anything else but the economy. A dollar has become king, and the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. We no longer talk about morality. We see shootings going on, and whether some of them are fake or not is not the point. We see murders and rapes and shootings constantly everywhere. I mean, in West Virginia, a place where we didn't hardly see any crime at all, shootings are commonplace, and we're one of the lowest in the country. It's because there's no hope. No one's taught in school there is a God anymore, that there are absolute rights and absolute wrongs, that we are important to our Creator. No, we're not taught that. We're not taught even at home by most parents about what's right and what's wrong. That we have parents who turn their children loose in the morning, go to school, and they come home. Nobody's home. The parents are working. They come in to what you want to do to fill the time. I know there'll be a fact. We have taught nothing to base our lives on as families. As families has been destroyed. So the nation has crumbled. The answer is simple, folks. It's Jesus Christ, His morals and His laws. The answer to fix this nation is simple, but people won't accept it. But that's a simple truth. But
amen.
You know, back to boy, hey, I got a amen out of that part. All right, I'm doing well. But you know, it says that, you know, Trump is pushing to reform NAFTA, even as the trade war with China gets worse. There was more bad news for Trump's trade agenda this morning, when the advanced goods trade deficit came in at $72.2 billion, worse than the $69 billion consensus print, and just shy of the highest forecast, a range of $66 billion to $72.5 billion. It was the biggest deficit since the record hit in March, and it is fast approaching the record high. Now, what does that really mean to us, Billy? Deficit in trading. What's that mean to Americans? Explain that to them.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you want me to explain.
Well, it's how does it affect us, bottom line?
Well, bottom line is, I mean, we continue to buy foreign trinkets. So that also tells us that, you know, if people are having a hard time getting by, if people are purchasing their needs, everything is on debt. So they're going deeper and deeper into debt. I'm not sure if that's the direction you wanted me to go in.
That is, because that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. So, you know, we can do all the trade agreements that we want, but as long as people continue to buy, you know, I can't see any reason why those numbers would really change that much.
And when it comes to buying foreign goods, and I don't like to say this, I wish we had manufacturing jobs in America today. I truly, truly, truly do. I wish we had the steel industry back and auto industry back inside the country and all these things back inside the country. You know, I really do. But if people can buy something from overseas cheaper, and they can't afford hardly to feed their family, they're going to buy the cheaper goods. I know that people don't want to hear that, and I understand if we had jobs back here, their wages might go up, and everybody would be better, and they could afford to buy American goods. I understand that. But in the meantime, they still got to eat. And that's the way it is. When I started in sales, Melody, years ago, a company called Sossmiller Products out of Philadelphia, we sold automotive goods, you know, parts, brake pads, lights, and you know, bulbs, and ignition parts, all that. And almost, I would say, 85% of what we sold was made in USA. In my last few years in sales, I changed companies, but nonetheless, you couldn't find any miniature bulbs they could put in tail lights and turn signals. You couldn't find them made in USA. They may be in Sylvania or Westinghouse or whoever, but they were assembled, they would come out of Mexico. So the manufacturing for the smallest miniature things moved out of country to make a cheaper product. So what does that tell us?
Yeah, I spoke to a woman today, and she says, nope, she says, I try to buy made in the U.S. of A. And that's wonderful. We should all do that. But I'll tell you what, those who don't listen to these programs or aren't conservative and so forth, they're looking to save every penny they can. I talked yesterday on the radio show. I was a few cents higher on Silver Eagles. And I got in the hot water with the gentleman saying that I was charging too much. This is a couple cents.
Wow.
So it does make a difference. It does. A couple cents on products does make a difference. A couple bucks, it does make a difference to what people are going to buy because they're strapped, because their wages are not keeping up with inflation, their wages won't keep up with inflation as long as we have a fiat currency, period.
And that's why we shop around for a gallon of gas at better prices, and not a nickel is a nickel.
Yep.
There you go. And you probably know this too. The Russian, I'm trying to find his name here. Well, let's just read it. Thank God this is happening. Russia says time has come to ditch the dollar. And this could be big. The time has come when we need to go from words to action and get rid of the dollar as a means of mutual settlements and look for other alternatives. He said, it's a guy named Rakakov. I can't say his name. Thank God this is happening and we will speed up this work, Rakakov said. Explained the move would come in addition to other retaliatory measures as a response to the growing list of U.S. sanctions. Previously, Russian Energy Minister Alexander Novak said that a growing number of countries are interested in replacing the dollar as a medium in global oil trades and other transactions. There's a common understanding that we need to move towards the use of national currencies in our settlements. There is a need for this as well as a wish of the parties. So the dollar is going to lose the overall hegemony of this world. Music playing. Is that music?
It is. I heard it. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul. We'll be right back.
Oh, prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and we were just coming back from break. And but you always have a good one during break time. We have fun during the breaks. We need to air that.
We do. We do. And I'm going to tell the folks about this. I have to. If you don't mind.
I don't
mind.
Humor.
We took some time off. Went down to Tennessee. Went down to Pigeon Forge and took my little cousins down. Two young ladies, 14, 15-year-old girls. Took them in to see a show called The Comedy Barn. If you're ever in that area, folks, it's worth going to see. We saw the whole act, but I got an older guy come out, a skinny guy in bib overhauls and a plaid shirt and patches on his knees and wearing an old hat. His mother cried, said, me and my wife had a fight, and she said, you wasn't going to speak to me for 30 days, and today's the last day. So I thought that was right on.
I don't normally say anything, but that was funny.
I had to share that.
Todd, producer, so.
Old Todd popped in on that one. All right, but
yeah, he did.
But you know, laughter is needed, and the Bible says a merry heart works good like a medicine. So laughter is needed. Melody, if we couldn't laugh with each other and at each other sometimes, and ourselves even, wouldn't we be miserable?
It would be.
During the break,
what's interesting, though, because you're talking about laughter, and everyone is so serious anymore. It really is hard to share laughter with folks. I mean, because you kind of make, you know, everybody enjoys making fun of everybody, and I don't like that. I don't like to make fun of other, you know. The liberal left, the Dem, they love making fun of people, and I don't like it. But good humor, like what you just shared, is awesome, and it's rare, and it's... again, it's another sign of the times that we don't laugh.
Sometime you take a break and down and see Marsha and I, and we'll take you down to Tennessee and show you some good times as far as good comedy, good family entertainment that you can sit back and enjoy and relax and just unwind with people all around you who are there to have the same experience, you know, and it's good family, good clean family fun, and I enjoy that.
I was in a contest, a stand-up comedy contest once, and I won.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us a joke.
Well, I have to be prepared for it. I think I shared it once before. It was, why was everyone so happy? Remember Andy Taylor, Mayberry?
Oh, yes.
Andy Taylor, Mayberry, Barney, yep. Aunt B, Opie. They were all so happy.
Floyd, Barbara, and all of them, yeah.
They were all so happy. Do you know why they were all so happy?
Why is that?
They were all single. The only one that was married. The only one that was married was the drunk.
I saw about that.
He was the only one.
Ooh, I like that. I've told a guy down in Tennessee about that one. He'll probably use that.
I mean, you certainly can elaborate on that, but you can look at all the characters and Andy, Opie. I'm not Opie, but Barney and Gomer and all of them.
All of them are single.
All single.
I hadn't thought about that way before. I'm going to tell Marcia that one and get off the air here. But anyway.
Let's get back to the dollar.
Rick, when I get serious again, I just keep on a little laughing. I'm enjoying this. Anyway, we're talking about Russia and other nations now going to quit using dollars as a medium of exchange, and that's going to hurt the dollar. That has maintained the dollar's value somewhat for a long time, especially the petrodollar that's going away. And Melody, that's all kept this dollar worth anything. When this does finally go, I think we're going to see the dollar go to nothing. And talk about inflation, we could be another Venezuela. That is possible, you know that.
Well, it really is possible. And not only is it possible, most likely. And anything can come from left field. But what we do have, and you're going to see treasuries, they're going to be revalued. I mean, it's going to hit a lot of people's pension funds and retirement accounts. They might not lose everything, but they're going to lose a big percentage. You could lose 50, 60, 70%. And you'll be thankful that you were able to keep 20, 25% because things, I believe, are going to get that bad. That's what happens. We've seen what happens to other countries that have been on fiat currencies and lived on the socialist policies. We know what happens. We're not any different.
No, we're not. We think we are because we're that prideful and that arrogant, but we're not.
And we're the biggest. So when the biggest falls, guess who's? Everyone else is going to fall too. There isn't going to be any place that you're going to be able to put your money. There isn't anywhere you're going to be able to place your money except in gold and silver. And well, the prices of gold and silver are going to skyrocket.
They are going to skyrocket. And if you can't make it on what you're making now, 100% of what you're earning, how are you going to make when the dollar drops 50%?
Yeah.
How are you going to do it, people? Think about that. Think about it. But to show you another trend coming on, we talked about this before, but this is really happening now. A robot is making $6 burgers for broke millennials in San Francisco. Now, this is a true story. Creator, a culinary robotic company designed around a transparent 14-foot-long culinary instrument that cooks and assembles burgers to order in 5 minutes, is set to open in San Francisco's South Market neighborhood in September. San Francisco is the epicenter of startup culture. It comes at no surprise that technology and food have been blended to create robot-made hamburgers. The last several years, California has seen an explosion of robots entering the culinary world, as it has become apparent new advances in tech are attempting to eliminate low-skilled workers from the kitchen. My grandson worked at McDonald's this summer. He came in from Colorado State with his son, worked at McDonald's in a fireworks shop. Low-skilled workers flipping burgers and doing other things, sweeping the floors. But a robot does it, he won't have a job. The robot consists of 20 computers, 350 sensors, and 50 actuators. Whatever that is, that form a robotic assembly line. After the customer places an order with a human, the machine slices buns, tomatoes, and onions, grills and grinds meat, adds condiments, sears buns, and produces a gourmet hamburger in less than 5 minutes without any human intervention. Wow. The staff has put together the rest of it like coleslaw and fries, whatever. But this machine does it all, Melody. And
24/7, no breaks.
24/7. No strikes, no pay raises.
Yep. No breaks, no vacations, no sick days, no play days.
But just what's going to happen when young children or young teenagers like my grandson work this summer to save some money, try to buy a car, go back to school, going to college next year? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to him? I mean, think about that. And now in Miami, Florida, they have robot butlers are coming to town. So welcome to the 21st century, where a request for extra towels in your hotel room may be answered by a roughly 4-foot-high purple robot on wheels. An unfinished 30-story mixed-use development in downtown Miami will employ three robot butlers for its guests. These robots don't look like humans, thankfully, but they're programmed to pay this and this. They're programmed to execute tasks normally left to their biological counterparts, delivering room service, playing music, and even engaging in conversation. Wow.
You know what? I don't want to converse with a robot, you know?
Someday you might not have any choice. I mean, banks in China are using robots to do banking.
Yeah.
And I was told by my sister-in-law, who's a pretty high up in the banking system around here, that it's coming this area sooner or later.
Sure. They're going to replace tellers and everything else. You know, and again, this is something that we have to think about. You know, we want jobs to come back to the United States, but, I mean, they have to build factories. I mean, all the factories we did have, they're all, you know, either turned into craft stores or crumbling. So they have to build. They're going to retool with technology. So how many jobs is it really going to create? It might create some, but I don't think it's going to create to the number that people believe.
No.
Because technology, robots, technology are replacing the human worker.
Well, in UK, they can't find enough workers to pick strawberries. They said due to Brexit, they can't find enough workers. So they have invented a robot strawberry picker. Now that's I'm serious. So about 20% of the fruits are going to waste because of shortage of workers. So they're going to use this robot to pick strawberries, which means they won't need any workers at all, except to get the thing started and, you know, I guess load the berries. But again, we're seeing this move towards no need for humans. Could this also lead into a game that we have with the people that want to do away with the human population? Why would they, if they need less people, why feed them? I know this sounds conspiratorial, but folks, this is all real here. This is all real. This is actually happening. So what's going to happen with this? I don't know, Melody. I cannot say. But I know in Summersville, McDonald's, they now have kiosks where you order your food. And they have people showing you how to do it now. But soon you walk in McDonald's, you'll punch a button, and it'll order the food for you. I assume you still pay at the counter. But you walk in now, you can order your food on the kiosk.
Yeah, I believe China also has a system where people are rated as far as what you can do, what you do. And you know, the senior citizens, they're the first ones. I mean, it all comes down, you know, we talk about Obamacare and health care and Medicare and so forth, but that's how they're going to control you.
Well, sure.
You know, that's really how they're going to control you. You know, with chips and you know, if you don't do what they tell you to do, you're not going to get the treatment that you're going to need, and you're out of here.
You won't be able to buy or sell, will you?
Nope.
Amazing. There's a book I read that says something.
You won't
about
get
that.
Any health care, and you'll be history.
Yeah,
you'll
won't
die.
Be able to buy or sell. I mean, that's what the Bible says, people.
Yep.
And you know, Melody, something. Think about this. Business in this country, businesses when it first was founded, businesses did not need license from the state or federal government to operate. You know that.
Yes.
They operate on totally free enterprise. But since our licenses are required, everybody thought it's a good idea, you know, to oversee the businesses. And licenses are okay. It's like driver's license. It's all okay, we'll say. But now businesses that don't play the game with the feds or the state lose their license. That means that they lose their business, doesn't it?
Yes.
So licensing or permission to do what otherwise would be illegal can be a snare. It is a snare. It's become a snare. Everything in this country today is controlled by licensing. Your driving, your business, your marriage, everything must be licensed by the state and approved by the new god of this society. And that's just the way it is. And that's why we are now owned by this society, by this, we're chattel to the state and to the corporate state. And we can say what we want, we can laugh about it, mock it, or whatever you want to do, but it doesn't change the fact. It's true, does it?
No, you're absolutely correct.
So anyway, and what do you think about prisoners going on strike for more money?
Well, there you go. Can they produce more license plates?
Well, you know, they don't do it anymore. They just make stickers now.
Oh, just, okay.
Yeah, they don't do much. But anyway, they said they literally are going on strike, a 19-day strike campaign. And I know that some conditions need to be changed. I'm sure of that. I'm
yeah, I agree.
But they're demanding more money. And they said that they shouldn't be made to work in the kitchen or outside in the yard or cooking and cleaning without being paid. Now, wait a minute. And they said the money, they're complaining because the money they're in goes to pay for their family's needs. They have families, you know, that they have there in jail for family support and fines and other things.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of going to prison, people. I mean, you're not in there for a holiday. You have a family to feed. They should have a job to help feed them. You should be thankful for that. I mean, Billy, I mean, yes, there's some things need changed. I know for a fact. I know people have been in there. Some things need changed. But they're complaining because they want more, they don't get paid sometimes for doing menial tasks. Are they in there to hold down a job and get retirement or what?
Pension funds are the next thing for prisoners. I don't know. It's just another sign. You know, it's just another sign of things that are out of control.
You mentioned about people on marijuana and other things, too, that you know that death from drugs, alcohol, and suicide now outpace diabetes.
Yeah.
Is dead. The number 7 cause of death in America is diabetes, and I am a diabetic. I fight every day. But drugs, alcohol, and suicide are now killing more than diabetes. What's that tell you about a nation?
Yeah. Says it right there. We're on the decline.
It is so sad to see a society that...
Well, the really sad thing is abortion beats them all, but... Are you there, Pastor Butch? Well, I guess I don't know who's active, if I'm alive or he's live, but one of us was lost, and now that we're found. But we're just about out of time anyway, so he departed at a good time. But 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And he is absolutely correct. Alcohol beats diabetes. You have... but abortion is the number one. When you look at the death toll, abortion is number one. So 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs, ladies and gentlemen. 90% 50-cent pieces. It's a great buy. You buy two of the little bags of $25 face value, and you will receive free shipping with that. So give us a call, and I'll be back tomorrow with Dave Allen. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.